Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And this is ZD Donahue.
And Mom wants you to know today that
screwing up is part of life.
That's right. But I don't, Mom, I don't know if you've ever screwed up before. You kind of.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of when I have so screwed up and it turned out really good, even though I screwed
up.
You would
do that.
No, you screw something up and you're like, oh no. And then you come up with a solution and you're like, I would have never thought of this if I had not screwed up.
We talked about this a little bit in the group. Somebody asked the question like this. They said, when do you know that, like, just stop and, like, throw away a project?
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, oh, that's a good question. And I thought, you know, I haven't done that in a really long time.
Yeah, I think.
I did do it.
I think, I think because it's hard to throw something away that you've put energy into. I think you're better off walking away and giving yourself a break first.
I also think,
you know, because you may be able to come back to it with a renewed, refreshed outlook if you aren't staring at how awful you just made this thing or whatever.
The other thing is, I think as you get more experienced, well, first of all, if you just started sewing, the screw-ups where you have to throw it away are going to happen.
Right.
Maybe not. Maybe it'll only happen to you twice.
Right.
Maybe it'll happen to you 10 times.
Right.
You know, but I was just thinking about the thing that I really messed up, and I thought, I knew better than that, and if I had used the knowledge that I know I already have, I could have avoided my wanting to throw it away. You know, like,
yeah.
Once you have some sewing chops, I think that you don't have to throw away as often because, really, with sewing, as long as you, like, leave that seam allowance,
right,
you're cutting accurately,
yeah,
you should be able to salvage something of it.
Well,
right?
And I think there's another thing about rules,
right,
that we've made, or we've been told, or we've made up ourselves, or we've decided we have to do it. You know, I just made some dog beds. Okay,
I meant to compliment you on those.
Oh well, thank you. But I used fabric I had.
Yeah,
because we don't need any more fabric. You know, I'm not saying we don't want it anymore.
I don't know. You just
I'm just saying we don't need any more, right?
Maybe we need to buy some more fabric because you just made dog beds.
Right. And I guess what I'm saying is, you know, I made this out of home deck fabric.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to make two, and I had enough fabric, you know, that I made like the top out of one fabric and the bottom out of the other fabric. And I was like, how come I can't figure out how to make this bottom? This is not working. It needed to be like 31 by 41 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like I had that fabric, but I couldn't get the shape. You know, it was like I had the volume, but it was in the wrong configuration. You know,
and it
had been used before. So mm-hmm. I had the area. I had the square inches.
Yes.
But it wasn't set up like I could just cut two, you know, of those rectangles right next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm like, this is a dog bed. And this is the bottom of the dog bed. And this
right.
is really good fabric. I just don't think I'm going to use it anymore. It should go to this dog bed. So, you know, I basically split this one piece of fabric, you know, down the middle and, you know, cut another piece of the fabric off the end of, you know, the wrong configuration of it and put it down the middle.
Together.
Right,
yeah,
right. And
yeah.
It was going in the opposite direction even. You know,
right.
It wasn't. So, I mean, and, you know, it was striped. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always want my stripes to be even and match up and all this. Well, you know, it's the dog bed.
It's a dog bed.
The dog loves the bed.
Yes.
You know.
She looks
not,
really good on
she's
it,
She's not
too.
Critical of it in any way whatsoever.
Did she just go and lay down on it and
actually,
love it?
She sniffed it out quite a bit.
Oh, but then it passed muster.
Yeah, and then she did the, you know, walking in the circle,
yeah.
You know, kneading it, you know, doing that thing. But I certainly used some rules I had, like how I put the zipper in the side and I made sure it was on the straight grain so it wouldn't get wonky. And, you know, there were all these, and, you know, I had... It has a gusset all the way around the sides, you know. So there were rules I used,
mm-hmm.
but there were rules I gave up.
Right.
And It also has a zipper in it that doesn't match.
Okay, you have to tell us about when you've screwed up, because this is just a success. That was a success story.
But, no, well, what I'm saying is, but you have to let yourself also sort of break the rules. And when we get on the self-sewn wardrobe, a lot of times people saying, oh, look at this garment. It's awful. Look at the neckline. You know, hack that neckline. Like, put a pleat in that neckline. Make it a new design.
People are really critical of themselves.
They're so critical. But, you know, my neckline's too big. I know how to make that smaller.
Yeah.
You take that band off. You put a little pleat right there. You could be in the middle. It could be in the side. Whatever, you know. And that now becomes a design, you know, point of interest.
Or knowing when you've made a mistake and stopping so that you can go take it out, you know, is important, too. So,
or, well, here's a mistake. Not trying it on.
Oh, try it on all the time.
You got to try it on.
All the time.
Yeah.
Like, you got to taste food when you cook, right, Betsy?
That's right. There you go.
So, when you, when have you, once again, Mom, you're dodging the question.
Okay, I know when I screwed up. Your senior prom dress.
Oh, yeah.
3 o'clock in the morning.
There we go.
Of prom.
Why'd you mess that up at 3 in the morning, Mom?
Probably because we didn't get the fabric till 3 in the afternoon that day or something. Right. I don't remember, but Mallory wanted this dress copied. We ordered the fabric. It was $98 yard fabric. We had to order it. We knew where it was. It was actually from a place where I had worked. They had a fabric store here in Columbia, and when I quit, they closed it. They couldn't replace me. So we had to order it from the St. Louis store, and they still had the fabric. Mallory had lusted after this fabric for years anyway. So we had no pattern, so I was just going to drape. And what is the top like? It was just a deep V.
It's
like
super deep V. Right. It goes down like
was
to
the
a
back
bra
like
line.
That too?
Yes.
Okay.
They both were like that. And so the challenge was like making it so I could move in this dress without, like, my boobs popping out.
And this was all silk chiffon.
Yes.
And it did have a fitted waist, and we had a
silk chiffon belt around it,
like
too.
A sash of some sort, yeah. And, of course, it had to have a lining because
this was
a silk chiffon, so we had a silk lining in it. I don't know if it was charmeuse or what. I can't remember, but it was silk. And I sort of finished it at 3 o'clock in the morning, and Mallory has it on, and she's like, oh, 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 and I'm like, I don't like it. It's not fitting right. It just doesn't hang.
You didn't have the whole dress finished.
It was
just the top.
On. Yeah, I'm glad it was just the top. And Mallory about died because I, like, ripped it off of her and threw it in the trash, and she's like almost in tears.
In the trash. I'm like, what are you doing?
And she's and I go, I got to make another one. I can't handle it. It's not right. It's just not right. So I did.
Well,
I made another top.
So here, Mom just made the top and put it on because the skirt was pretty simple.
Well, yeah.
It wasn't going to cause any trouble. So once again, an example of try the garment on.
Right.
Either you or the person. Okay. We got to give the people a real screw-up story, so I will do it.
I'll be trying to think of one, okay?
Yeah, yeah. Poor Mom can't come up with some time when she...
There has to be some time, like, I costumed something that was, like,
up.
God-awful or
Everything
something.
Everything you've done is beautiful. Okay. Well, I've got
You know what it is? My memory doesn't go back that far anymore.
You have been sewing a long time. That's what I mean. It's like you just really, you get burned and you know how to avoid it. Okay, so one time I got burned real bad. I had a boyfriend in high school who worked at Hollister. So if anybody knows what Hollister is, I don't know if they still exist.
A boyfriend in high
school.
Mel, I had lots of boyfriends in high school.
No, I didn't. You say that. I dated this guy for like 2 years. Jeez. Like.
We used
you
to call
that.
Okay, we used to call it boyfriend du jour. Like, who is it today?
I've just been having boyfriends since I was like 7. So
maybe
there
that's
been a lot. Anyway, dated this guy for like 2 years. He worked at Hollister. He was super cute, and he, you know, wore the graphic tees. He's a rock star. He's in a band. Okay, so he got me this jacket from Hollister. He'd get me clothes. He would style me
right
before we left the
house. Right.
Okay.
He used to like take my clothes and put them on her, and he'd say, "Do you have that jacket you wore yesterday?" And he'd like, I'd bring it to him, and he'd put it on Mallory.
Yeah.
It was
one time
funny.
We were about to leave the house, and he was like, "Zeedee, no, she needs to wear that jacket you were wearing. You know, where is it? You know, like, okay." So anyway, He got me this jacket, and it was a track jacket, a brown track jacket that was, like, fleece-lined, like, furry-lined. It was so warm, and I thought, you know, I can embroider on the back of this. I wanted to embroider this big, scrolly, crazy-looking thing. So I have to be, like, 15 or 16, right? I was doing this when, I guess it was, like, right before you maybe bought the shop, you know? And I put this jacket in the embroidery machine. I've made up this design in software from all of these other weird scrolly designs, that's several all together, and they put it in the machine, and it's going great. The believe the embroidery area must be, you know, it's one of those round hoops, so it wasn't quite square.
The oval hoop?
Yeah. So what is that? Like 8 inches by 6-ish, yeah, or something? But a pretty sizable hoop. It wasn't like 4x4. And I walked away from it, and something got caught. I can't quite remember. Something got caught. I shouldn't have walked away from it. It was this jacket, you know, but it was taking so long because I, you know, done all these silly, scrolly things in it, which I probably shouldn't have even made it that complicated. And I come back, and it is just so messed up that I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, I'm going to try and salvage this because I can do it. And I, you know what I did? I took it out of the hoop.
And started sewing on
and
it.
No. I took it out of the hoop to take the stitches out, and I should have kept it in the hoop to take stitches out. Not only because maybe I could have, like, embroidered on or something, but keeping it in the hoop helps you to take stitches out. That's really more
taut,
like,
right?
Yes. Okay, so I have this vision in my mind of taking that, you know, jacket home, and then it's, like, in the bottom of my closet because I'm like, oh, I got to take those stitches out, and I finally just threw it away because it was so hard to take the stitches out.
I didn't know that.
Out of this knit jacket with this furry
lining.
It was just so squirrely, and the stitches were too dense, and And now, me, Mallory, who's, you know, 27 instead of 16, if somebody came in with their Hollister jacket and wanted to put embroidery all over the back, you know, I would say, hey, let's do something that looks nice and bold, but is some bigger, like, line open work on this jacket, okay, so that it's not, you know, so heavy and crazy, and there's, and then you're going to stand there over it. You're not going to walk away from
it. That's right.
You know, I feel like I can embroider almost anything nowadays.
Right.
Like, because I tried to embroider so many things that are so weird.
Right.
Okay. And I've figured out how to be successful. Not only, like, you've helped me, but, you know, I've done some real weird things. Like, I had to embroider a stocking cuff one time, and the name on it was, like, Vincente. Okay. It was, like, 9 letters long. And I'm embroidering it. It's like V-I-N-C-E. And I'm like, oh, my God, the stocking's going to flatten out too much. So I stop it, and I tear up the V and the I and the N off the stitch, and I stitched the rest of the word.
Right.
And it worked. But I felt confident in that because I'd messed around with so many things, you know. It could have been that I needed to throw out that stocking, you know, but it was somebody else's. So anyway, I do have some experience now of having...
In screwing up.
It's going to happen.
Well, I think, you know, what I think this podcast should be about is screwing up is part of life, though.
Yeah.
And I think what happened, you know, you brought up people say, when do you know to throw it away? You throw it away when you get so unhappy that it's driving you crazy,
right,
for one thing. And you will screw up. And another reason I thought that I brought up this topic is someone in the Self-Sewn Wardrobe posted that they had, used somebody's pattern, I can't remember, from a company, and they didn't quite understand it or something, and they asked for direction.
Oh.
And they got, you know, a negative response.
Mm-hmm.
And people were saying, what, that's so easy, what's the big deal, da-da-da. Well, okay, don't let people do that to you.
Right. Yeah.
They start doing that, just cut them off and start over someplace else or something.
Now, we have, you know, sometimes we'll get a little real with people. Like when we said to Noah, like, hey, you got it.
Yeah, but we didn't tell him he was stupid.
No, and also with the knit sleeve that we discussed a couple podcasts ago, you know, we've said to that girl, we're like, hey, you just need to go to your sewing machine now.
Right,
you know, like, I think you might be overthinking it a little bit. You know, there are, like, nice, reasonable ways.
But don't let somebody tell you it was a... she even said something about, I ask a question and they made me feel stupid. No.
Yeah.
Okay, who's the stupid one? It's the one that doesn't ask the question, right?
Right, right.
I mean, if you're not, you know, asking for help or asking for help with knowledge or whatever it is, then you're the dumb one.
Well, now you know if you're dumb or not. And we're going to take a message break here. Hey, Mom.
Yeah?
You can feel free to compliment me.
Oh, no. On what?
On this.
What?
My feel free to compliment me enamel lapel pin.
Oh, Mallory. Every time that you hear something wrong, are you going to make a lapel pin about it?
Maybe. Do you want one?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well,
isn't it teal?
Yes, it's teal and pink. And you can get one by going to sewhere.com/compliment.
Just so you know, I'm not putting it on my lapel. It's going on my hat.
Oh, it's going on your hat. It could be a hat pin, too. Okay. All right. So if you want to get in on the feel free to compliment me in on the club, go to sewhere.com/compliment and order our very first sewhere.com lapel pin.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back.
I think my biggest screw-ups have been with the iron.
Oh.
Where I've melted something or you know, scorched it to death. And
I overpress.
Talk about learning to applique.
I overpress things. And
yeah.
We need to, you know, we published pressing episode number one, and we haven't published pressing episode number two
yet. I think that, you know, because that was sort of like you've done the irreparable, you know. You have absolutely destroyed the fabric and then there's no more or something.
Right.
So I'm trying to think if I've ever I've probably thrown something away that, like, you know, I turned into, like, burnt goods.
There you go. Well, and one of the reasons, Mom, I think that you're in the position you were is that you started sewing so young and you made a scarecrow Halloween costume for your, you know, 12-year-old self.
Right.
Kind of hard to screw that up, right? You know, like.
Oh, I can't. Now that I think about it, I'm surprised it worked.
Right.
You know.
That's true. Maybe you got lucky. The
right.
other thing is, one way or another,
right.
with everything you do,
you have to test almost every stitch you make on your sewing machine.
So you can test embroidery patterns. You can test stitching settings.
That would be on your sewing
machine
and on your serger.
And you can test iron heat.
That's right.
Right? You can test
applying markings to something.
Yes,
are they
going
to come out? Are they going to stay there?
You
what
can
happens?
Test, that's great. That's a really great one
right.
to keep in mind. So all of these things, trying them out a little bit.
Well, or sometimes I will test two pieces of fabric together, like something I think, am I going to sew this together and how is it going to lay down? Or so I might take the scraps and sew them together and see, is this going to work like I want it to?
And of course, the other big testing thing that you can do is fit.
Right.
Making
right.
yourself a test
right.
garment. I don't want to.
Well, and what I want to say about that is after you make that muslin, you know, and then the next, and then you go to make the real
thing.
The thing, you still might, before you set those sleeves, you still might want to try
okay,
it on.
Okay, this is what I wanted.
Yeah, because the fabric's different.
This is what I wanted to say. I almost don't like to call the muslin a muslin nowadays because I feel like the new people think it's got to be made out
right.
of muslin. We've talked about this in past episodes.
So we'll talk test garment.
I almost want to call it a test garment. And mm-hmm. and it's not that
or
I...
Or a mock-up.
I don't want to disrespect this, like, long history of, you know, calling it a muslin or anything like that. I'm not trying to be smarter than, you know, somebody else. But your test garment made of similar fabric in drape and hand
and
stretch,
right.
you know, can be so important. And try, okay, test again with fit is not just oh, I'm going to make the size 6 and put it on.
And
then,
hem it and put the buttons on it and finish all the trim and da-da-da. No, you need to try it on in some stages where you can take it out if you need to.
You need to try. I like try on stuff almost, not after every seam, maybe, but like after a big step in the garment construction process.
Well, I think people don't because they just want it to fit so bad, or they think they've done all the work or whatever. Or, and you just, maybe, you know, now, if you're making, you know, 3 t-shirts and the fabric's very similar but a different color, you can probably whip those out pretty well.
Of course, you don't need to test, you're repeating a pattern you made it before.
Right. Yeah. But you put that work into it, you want it to be right.
The other thing, and we've brought this up a couple times before, your construction order can help you with this fitting and this testing.
Mm-hmm. And taking apart or whatever.
I had a couple people ask about, I think I've talked about this exactly before, but I think this is so important. I've had somebody ask me before, why can't you just set in a sleeve without your like bodice side seam being done up? You know, like put it in open like that. And I'm like, well, you can can just sew up that side seam, but if you're making a test version of, say, a woven button-up shirt, and you want to know, does this bodice fit me and do the armholes end up in the right place, it can be a good thing for you to first make the make the sleeveless, you know, body of that shirt, right? Like that construction order can aid in testing, in fitting.
Also, when you talk about,
construction order?
Order may be different on the sewing machine versus a serger.
That's true, too.
Because on a serger, generally what you really want to do is go over the last seam that was sewn. You're trying to secure as many seams as you can with the other serge seam. So that can make a difference, too, as to, you know, what machine you're using to make it.
I also have tested garments before and not made the whole thing.
Oh yeah.
You know, especially it was with this jacket with the Kelly Anorak. I was like, you know, I just need to know if I'm choosing the correct size for my shoulders.
That's right.
Because that's the part that I have trouble fitting.
And that's the part you want fitted. Right.
Yeah, and that's the part where I want it to fit nicely. I needed some ease because it's a jacket. But I knew my shoulders are a lot bigger than my bust in any of these patterns. I wasn't worried about it being tight to the bust. It's a jacket. I knew everything was going to be fine for me just because of how my body is shaped. And I thought, you know, what if I just cut out, like, the top of this, and see if these are set in the right place, you know, and that is another thing that you can do.
Well, and parts of some garments are not fitted. They just hang or they're just, you know.
And the other thing is when you are breaking rules, you need to know that you're breaking them and you need to have a contingency plan.
You also need to know why the rule was necessary in the first place.
That's right.
If you're going to break it because, you know, one of the things we just talked about not too long ago was bias and crosswise and length. If you don't cut that pattern, you know, on the crosswise grain like it says to, what's going to happen?
Right.
You know, it's probably going to screw up. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a reason for it to be done that way.
Yeah, if you think
you can't just throw all the rules away unless you really understand them.
I was making a poncho from the Magic Pattern Book, and it has like a little faux, like buckle kind of thing in the back, right? I was making it out of plaid, and I thought, I want to put that on the bias because it'll be cute, you know? And I thought, this piece is not meant to be on the bias because it's supposed to be stable. So I stabilized my fabric.
So you stabilized it, right.
You know, with another woven, you know, fabric in order that, you know, so that pattern piece wouldn't stretch out of shape.
That's right.
When I, you know, used it. So that's a rule I broke. Another rule I'm breaking with the Kelly Anorak, I'm using a zipper that is like an inch and a half too short.
Right.
Okay. I know why. So you talked about why the rule exists. I know why she said to use this long of a zipper.
Right.
I also could see from the construction that it's all enclosed. Mm-hmm. And if there was a little bit of extra fabric below the zipper, wasn't going to be
a
big deal.
That's
right. So I knew it was okay.
And you know, there are some rules or things I throw away right off the bat. Like I never use the button placement.
There you go.
Pattern that is given with a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
I put on the garment and I decide where those buttons are going to be and what size they're going to be.
Yep.
Because how could button placement be the same for you and me both?
Right. So you got to know why the rules exist. But if you really mess up something, okay.
Yeah.
You're going to throw it away. You have our permission to throw it away, first of all, because we don't keep around things that don't work, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or to remind ugly us. Reminders. You also have, every time you mess up, if you think about what happened, you're going to learn something.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
It's
you have our permission.
It's such a learning process.
You have our permission to throw it away, but think about, okay.
Right.
Oh, I should have used a longer stitch length so that I could have taken out this lapel on this Morris blazer when I decided that I wasn't going to follow the rules and interface the lapel.
Yeah, you know, and there you go. That's another part. You kind of have to be honest with yourself.
Yeah, I know exactly. You know, I know
you
what
do
happened.
It. You can't. Mm-hmm. You can't say I don't to somebody. Oh, I really don't know why this didn't work out. You might know.
Ooh.
You might know.
I think
so. If you want to deny that, that's okay. But you haven't learned anything.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mom. You do. You have to say, I messed this up. Like, because I've made two Morris blazers now that are successful on me.
Right.
But this one that I started and I'm just trashing it, you know,
uh-huh.
I thought, oh, I thought I could do without interfacing on this lapel.
And sometimes you can
and
on
sometimes
some
you
things.
Can, but
and depending
I was like,
on the fabric.
I should have tested. It would have been so easy for me to like baste this one part on, see if it worked. And if it didn't, take it off and redo that part. You know, I just need to be honest with myself that, you know, you got to think about what's going to be what's
going to
be.
Or you have to think, I thought through that process. What part did I not consider
you have to think about what's
that
most,
made this a fail?
You have to think about what's most time effective, and sometimes it's throwing
it
away.
And the other thing, too, is if you think about just throwing something together or whatever and it doesn't work out, you have wasted that time. You thought your plan was to save time, and instead you just wasted it.
Right. If you get something that's unwearable just from sheer lack of sort of, I don't know, like respect for the process. Or whatever, that's kind of that sounds a little, what do I want to say?
Arrogant?
Yeah, well, or like moral.
There's ethical sewing and there's non-ethical sewing.
Right, you know, but if you've done that.
And we believe in both.
It's like, you know, and I've done that myself. I'm like, well, now I can't, you know, finish this properly because I just went, you know, crazy or something like that.
The other thing somebody else brought up not too long ago on the Facebook page was, I was thinking about doing this or doing that to this. I've made this pattern before, but I decided it was really late and I'm going to stop and do it in the morning.
Yeah.
And that is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I used to, so really late, like into the wee hours of the morning. And I kind of had a rule that I didn't cut stuff at a certain point because cutting is the one thing you can't
fix. Yeah, you kind of can't
undo. It's harder to fix. You can always, you know, there's color blocking.
Yeah, that's right.
There's always color blocking.
Design detail, you know. Yeah.
But, you know, some, and especially if you have to have that fabric and you can't replace that fabric or something like that, you don't want to lose the options of that fabric. You know, don't cut late at night. Don't take a design chance when you're really tired.
Yeah, yeah. Or a, I always think this sometimes, like, I can do that better than they drafted it.
Right. Well, usually what would happen to me
sometimes
is, especially when I was, like, designing costumes.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to design for, you know, you have all these things in mind. You've got cost and time and efficiency of getting these done and how many different kinds of bodies do they have to fit and where can I, or I would make a lot of things that had built-in alteration type. What do I want to say? Features.
Mm-hmm.
And I might make like 30 garments. It's like, say I had to make 32 garments. And like on the 31st, I was like, if I would have just sewn this seam this way, I could have saved myself 6 minutes on every garment.
Right.
But it was so funny that I, you know, I did 30, you know, out of the 32 garments, I did 33 this way or something like that.
Right.
But, you can always probably think of a little bit better or different way to do something sometimes so it works out better. But
Well, we'd love to hear about your screw-ups.
Yeah.
And, or if you quit sewing for a while because you did screw up. And know that your next screw-up, ZD and Mallory are right there cheering
and
you on.
And screwing up is part of life.
That's right. So you can find us on Instagram at ZD Sewing Studio. You can email me at Mallory@sewhere.com. And we've got a fun Facebook group that we've talked about called The Self-Sewn Wardrobe. So you can like that page and join the group on Facebook too. All right. Well, thank you all for listening.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.